I've preached on hope and change, and I've preached upon goals. And there's many things that come together as we begin a new year. We talk about new beginnings, and we have great hopes. And sometimes this happens not just at the beginning of a new year, but at any given time in our life, we set a goal. We hope to reach the goal that we've set, to see the fulfillment of that goal. But as I stated, we set that goal, and a month or two down the road, or whatever it might be, we find out or come to know that our goal is nothing more than a faded memory. We do not continue to go forward and to see that fulfilled. We made a statement that if things were not in your life, and I believe this applies not only in spiritual but in natural sense to any circumstance in your life, if those things are not the way that you like them in the past, then it's going to require change going forward. We made a statement that to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, if we're doing that, as the Bible teaches us, we're refining ourselves to be more like our Savior every day. There's not any of us, I believe, could stand up and say, I've went as far as I can go. I'm as refined as I can get, and I'm so much like Jesus Christ that I don't need to go any further. There's not any of us in that condition. So therefore, as long as we live in this earth, there's going to be a need to refine ourselves in many ways, in the way we think, the way we speak, the way we talk, and the way we walk. So when we set these goals, most of the time we find out that a goal that's set, or a New Year's resolution, or any other time that you set out to do something different in your life, I would say 99% of the time, really I would say 100% of the time, what you're trying to achieve or what you want to see fulfilled in your life is a positive change, is something that would bring better things into your life. If you didn't have as good a relationship as with your husband or wife last year as you'd like to have, you would probably hope maybe going forward to have a better relationship. I very seriously doubt that you'd hope to have a worse relationship. If you didn't have a good relationship with your friends or your neighbors or your brothers and sisters in Christ, I think we would probably hope that by the grace of Almighty God that going forward in the new year, we would see positive improvement. What I'm saying is when we set a goal and we decide to do something in our lives, it's very seldom that we ask to be worse off 12 months from now than we are at this present time. We're looking to better our lives. We're looking to bring some positive change in our lives, whether it be in a natural sense or a spiritual sense. If you made a good amount of money or made a decent amount of money last year in the job that you have or the business that you run, I'm certain that you wouldn't say, I have a goal to make less than I made last year. You'd always want something to be positive. The Bible teaches us not only in the realm of spiritual, but in the realm of natural. You know, it is God who gives us our natural blessings. It is God who gives us our spiritual blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places. We have all our blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually. But friends, we have all our natural blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ also. For it's in Him that we live, move, and have our being. So whatever you have today and you eat or drink, you have it because God blessed you to have it. If you have a lot of money today, you have it because God blessed you to have it. Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us that it is God that giveth thee power to gain wealth. Now throughout my life, I've heard many proclaim the gospel and proclaim it in such a way that God's people ought to be a poor and afflicted people. Oftentimes they are poor in spirit. Oftentimes they are afflicted. But if you go back and study the Word of God and you study the Old Testament, you'll find that some of the most faithful men, the old patriarchs of the Old Testament, were men of wealth. Abraham was one of the most wealthy men that ever lived, and yet God declared him as one of the most faithful. When David died, he left billions, if you would, in materials and goods and money to his son Solomon to build the temple. He started that work, but he didn't build the temple, but he prepared a way. And there's not another man in the Bible who can be declared a man after God's own heart. That was David. Job was the richest man in the East. So I'm telling you today, the idea that you can't serve God if you have anything is the wrong idea. You can have a lot and still be a faithful servant unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's men who have been that way in their lives. The Bible tells us that. Thus saith the Lord. You know, the thing we got to understand, though, is there's nothing wrong with having a lot of money, But what gets to be wrong in a person's life is when the money has them. And that really does happen. Nothing wrong with having a lot of money, long as you use it and you're a good steward of it to the glory and honor of Almighty God. But when the money has you, when it takes all your time, all your thinking, and everything that you can consider in life, the money has you. You don't control the money controls you, and that's what that means. In Luke chapter 12, we see a picture of a man who had that happen to him, don't we? A man who was already rich, being blessed in an almighty way. God continued to bless this man, and I'm not going to go over there for time's sake, but the man began to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. His concern was not for the furtherance of God's kingdom, to help the poor and the afflicted and the widows and the other things that God's word teaches us to do. It was to have this good life, and the Lord said he was a fool. That's what the Lord literally said, "Thou fool, who shall require thy life tonight? Then who shall all these things be?" In other words, we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to be here next week. If you have anything, you have it because God Almighty blessed you to have it. But having too much is not a problem if you don't let that money have you. You know, when you look at the picture of the church in the New Testament, the church is told to take care of the widows. The church is told to take care of the poor, the fatherless, on and on. There's numerous things that we're to take care of. And you can't do that if you don't have any money in the church. That's just a simple fact. God blessed some with more than he blessed others with. But it takes that if you're to do the things God called upon us as a church to do. There's been negligence in that area over the years. Been lack of money, lack of giving, and so forth. But I'm telling you right now, having too much money, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you don't let the money have you. Let's think about some things as we go forward this morning. I want to take the remainder of my time and I want to look at the first parable that Jesus Christ spoke. One that I've preached on before or attempted to preach on before that I believe gives us an explanation to many of the other parables going forth in the Bible. To me, it's the most understandable parable. It's the parable of the sower. It's a parable about a farmer. Here in West Texas, most of us have some knowledge of farming, whether we farmed or not. I spent over 35 years and really more like 45 years of my life on the farm with my grandfather and myself growing up. The Lord blessed us in a mighty way. But we understand things about farmers if you live in West Texas. We're not from central New York. We're not from some big city. I'll never forget in 1976, I was just 18 years old, and there was this big parade of tractors that went to Washington, D.C., And there was a lot of them that went up there, and as they was interviewing people on TV, they interviewed this one lady, elderly lady, and she said she didn't care if the farmers had a strike because she got her groceries at the grocery store. My point is, some people have about that much understanding of farming. But out here, most of us, even if we didn't farm, we understand that corn and wheat and cotton are crops that are raised for our benefit. You know, cotton's a fiber, and we make clothes out of it. We know that wheat is used for bread. Wheat is used for pasta and other things. We also know that corn is used to feed cattle, where we get our meat, to feed milk cows, where we get the milk that we drink. So most of us have at least a vague, if not even a better than a vague understanding of farming. But you know, our lives can be compared to farming. They really can. It's something that we can begin to size up not only our natural lives, but our spiritual lives. In the parable of the sower, I think there's both a natural application and a spiritual application. I want you to know in verse 13 of Mark chapter 4, it says, "And he said unto them," this is unto his disciples, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" I believe the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, if you don't understand what I'm teaching you there, then there's not a possibility that you're going to understand any more of the rest of the parables given to us in the Gospels. And there's many more. This was the first parable that he spoke. And he said, you need to know what he's saying right here if you're going to have any understanding going forward of the other parables that are written in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to jump down to the last piece of ground. In these parables, we're going to have four pieces of ground under consideration. I believe all four pieces of ground that's considered are children of God. Now, there's those that would argue that point in the past, but I believe that point can be proved, and we're not going to really go there today. But I believe the majority of old Baptists today believe that each one of those particles of ground are different seasons and different areas of one's walk in life. But it's interesting that he used this parable to size up every aspect of our life. Very interesting. It says in verse 8, "And other," talking about seed, "fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, I believe that ought to interest all of us. Would you not be interested in a 30-fold increase in your life? If your marriage was not good, your relationships were not good, if the peace of God wasn't dwelling in you, it doesn't matter whether it's monetary or spiritual. Can you imagine what a 30-fold increase would be, much less 100? A lot of us will look at that and read it and just, we can't hardly believe it, can we? Oh, that wouldn't happen to me, but God says it's possible. If God says it's possible and the Lord says nothing's too hard for me, then it's possible. But I believe the Lord calls upon us to act. As I made a statement the last few Sundays, there's only one act in the Bible that you can read about that you and I had no part in. One act. And that's the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our eternal salvation. We were passive in every aspect of our eternal salvation. The Lord chose us. The Lord redeemed us. The Lord called us. And not one will ever fall away regardless of our walk upon this earth, because we were paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in every other consideration, I believe God calls upon you and I to act. And the parable of the sower is a great demonstration of what can take place. Another thing I want us to get to before we go any further is, we're told about the parable of the sower in three different accounts in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's a little difference in those. Luke says it was brought to 100-fold, but both Matthew and Mark talk about 30, 60, and 100-fold. I can't imagine a 30-fold increase in my pay, a 30-fold increase in my relationships. You're talking about an increase, something that is positive, real change in your life. The Lord says it's possible. But I tell you, as I said, we're not going to go to sleep one night and wake up and that happened. God calls upon you and I to act. Can you imagine a 30-fold increase in attendance in a church? Is it possible? The Lord says it is. The Lord says it is. But you and I are called upon. We're called to action. We're called to action in our jobs. If you're not making money, if you're not doing the right things, and you don't change, and you don't act, and you don't get rid of some things, you can't expect to see an increase in your job, in the amount of money you make. It doesn't just happen. You've got to do something. You've got to act. You've got to make a difference in your life. And we find that on three pieces of this ground, we find people who are not taking care of the ground. In the parable of the sower, it talks about plowing and cultivating and planting. The seed that's sowed is the word of God, and the sower is the preacher. But in the natural sense, the sower is the farmer, and he sows in a broadcast manner. And some of these seed fall on the wayside, some of them fall in stony ground, some of them fall among the thorns. And if you've ever farmed, you have some realization of what's being talked about here. I know I certainly do in a tremendous way. Like I said, this parable is far more understandable to me than some of the others because I spent so much of my life farming. But we find here when Jesus came to his disciples in the 13th verse, there's another great lesson given. There was people out of every city, it tells us over in the account in Luke, that were gathered together to hear this parable. But after that was done, there were some with his disciples that heard the parable. And Jesus said in verse 11 in Matthew, he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto others, unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing that you may see and not perceive, and hearing that you may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." Now, I can tell you right now, Jesus Christ is not walking among us today as he was in those days. But if you ever come to perceive something, you ever come to understand it, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ revealed it unto you directly. Not because some man preached it. The preacher here was scattering a seed. You know, the Apostle Paul said, "I planted. Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase." That's what we're doing today as the preacher. That's what the farmer is doing. Some of that seed fell on the wayside ground and was devoured by the fowls of the air. Now let's go back and read that entire reading and beginning in verse 3 of Mark chapter 4. It says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell in stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns." Thorns and briars or thistles, that's weeds. And I tell you, there's not a member that's sitting in this congregation that don't know something about weeds. We've all had them. We've all battled them, whether it's in your yard, on your farm. We're going to have some understanding of what these thorns are. "And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit." Over in the account of Luke, we're told that the fruit was not brought to perfection. We're also told, and as Jesus explains this parable further in this chapter, that they became unfruitful, meaning that they were fruitful at one time. I can tell you, these are not talking about children of God, those pieces of ground would have never bore fruit at any given time. They would have never received the word of God into their heart with joy, with gladness. So we go on and we continue to look at this. And our desire should be to have an increase in our life. You know, I was listening to a man preach and talk that was not among the old Baptists, but he made some great points. And I think about these points. He asked, he says, "Are you in the land of barely enough? Are you in the land of just enough? Or have you landed in the land of more than enough?" Now, he was explaining the Israelites when they were in Egyptian bondage. They were in the land of barely enough. They barely got by. But you know, the God that you and I serve is a great God. He's bigger than you and I. He's able to do above and beyond what we can even think or pray or ask for in our lives. But he calls upon us to do something. You just don't wake up one morning and these changes come to pass. We're to act. Are you in the land of just enough? See, when God called upon the Israelites and called upon Moses to bring them out of Egyptian bondage, he brought them out to Mount Sinai where the Ten Commandments were written. They were in the land of just enough. They didn't have anything extra. They got by. But the God that you and I serve is a God of more than enough. A God who is able. You're not able, but you and I are able. The Lord is able, I mean. You and I are not, but the Lord is able. We can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. God is a God of rich blessings. You know, he tells this natural story of a farmer. Have you ever wondered why some of them had a 30, a 60, or a 100-fold increase? It's because they done something. A farmer doesn't go out, and I explained this years ago when I was raising corn. I didn't go out and plant a kernel of corn and then go off for 5 or 6 months and come back to see what I had left. I was to tend to the farming. I was to plow, to cultivate, to water, to fertilize. It doesn't just happen. God calls upon you and I to work. Most of the times when a parable is taught in the Word of God, it's a natural teaching of something you and I understand that brings about a higher spiritual teaching. And that's what he's doing here. But don't think it's only that way. God gives us a natural event here for our own good to teach us that it is the God of heaven who blesses you in your natural life just as well as your spiritual life. Because whatever you have naturally, you have because God blessed you to have it. God blessed you with the job you have. If you change jobs and you have an increase, it's because God gave you the wisdom, the power, and the ability to do so. All the credit and all the glory goes to the God of heaven. So as we begin to look at this parable, I believe it is a desire, if we're honest, of all of us to have increase in our life. Do you want increase in your life? Do you want a strong relationship with your husband or your wife every year? I tell you, unless it's in the Lord, it won't happen. Unless the Lord's in the matter, it won't happen, whether it's spiritual or natural. You may have seasons that are okay, but they will falter. If you're not looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we need to look unto Him every day and not lose our focus. You know, Jesus summed it up in two ways in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I believe these three plots of ground that are going to have all kinds of problems can be lumped together in Matthew 7 and 13. When Jesus declared, "Straight is the gate, Or he said, enter into the straight gate. But he said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That's many of God's children and where they end up going in life. It leads to destruction. He says, there are many that go in thereat. But then there's another gate. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. That's verse 14. I believe those who've been led to life and are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Abraham did, not only was he a man of faith, he had a lot. The Lord blessed him in his natural life in a mighty way because he called upon God in every situation. Now let's think about our spiritual lives and let's think about this in a natural sense. We go back into verse 15 and it says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. What is wayside ground? It's fallow ground. It's ground that becomes hard. It's not tilled. It's not broke. It's not chiseled. And you know, you scatter seed upon that ground, there'll be no earth to even cover it. It's kind of like scattering seed upon a county road that's been blown on and driven down for years. It's hard. The birds will come by. As the Lord feeds the birds are there, it'll come by and devour those. When we don't understand, when we've not prepared that ground, I tell you right now, Satan comes and snatches it away. I ask you today, when you come to the house of the Lord, did you prepare yourself to worship? Did you pray for the service? Did you pray for the preacher? Did you pray for yourself, for your brothers and sisters? Did you prepare your heart to hear the word preached with all readiness of mind? Do you know the Berean brethren? They were ready to hear the word. They understood that they wanted to go to the house of the Lord. They were zealous. They prepared themselves to hear the word of God preached. I'm going to tell you what, if a farmer goes out there and he does not prepare his ground for planting time, if he never tills it, if he never breaks up that ground, he's not going to have much success in planting his crop. It won't take in moisture. It won't take in nutrients. We have to prepare the ground. I believe the Bible teaches you and I, we have to prepare our hearts to worship. That means our minds and thoughts should be upon God when we rise up on Sunday morning. Or even through the week, I believe every day that we rise up, our thoughts and minds should be focused upon the Lord our God. He is the giver of all blessings, being spiritual or natural. Friends, I'm telling you, I hope when the end of this year comes, every one of you will tell me I've had a 30-fold increase in my life in whatever situation or circumstance you're thinking of. Whether it's your job or your relationship, or whether you're filled with a piece of God that you've never had in your life. That's what the Bible tells us about. God came that you might have life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you might have it more abundantly. That means right here and now. Happy are that people whose God, capital G, is the Lord. But we have to prepare our hearts. Are you preparing your ground? You see what's so interesting about this parable? Our spiritual life works just like our natural life. There's no difference. If you don't prepare the ground as a farmer, you can't expect to make a very decent crop. And you're certainly not going to have a 30, 60, or 100-fold increase. You're not going to have a bumper crop. You know, but even when you go out and prepare that ground, it is God that blesses thee with the increase, whether it be 30 or just a little bit. All the glory goes to the Lamb that was slain, to our God, to the God of heaven, our Father. So prepare your hearts that Satan won't come and take away that that's been sown in your heart because of your lack of understanding. He goes to another ground. He says, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, in one account in the Gospels, it says because it had no moisture, it withered away. We all know that to be the truth. In my lifetime, I farmed ground that sure wasn't choice ground. I had some choice ground, but I had some that wasn't choice. I had some that literally had caliche rocks in it. Would break your chisels off, get in your header. If you wasn't careful, it'd start your cotton stripper on fire. And we've all dealt with that. But I can tell you right now, by way of experience, if you went out and fertilized that ground, if you went out and watered that ground, if you cultivated that ground and tended that ground, it would bring forth a bumper crop just like the most choice land you have out there. What does that mean? That means when stones get in the way of serving God in your life, we need to chunk them out. Chunk them out of our life. We all have stones that cause us problems in life. He says back over when he's explaining, and these are likewise which are sown in stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. You know, they come to the house of the Lord. They prepared their heart. But instead of going home and studying out God's word and applying that to their life, they have no root. And when they get back out in the world, shortly after the worship service, they soon forget. Just like a plant that's not able to drive its root deep into the soil. It says, afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. When the trials of life come your way, are you able to handle them? The Lord says they're coming. He explains it in this parable. In this world ye shall have tribulation. He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be courageous. For we have what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you offended? Are you troubled? Do you believe that you have more troubles than the next man? That's not so. The Lord knows all our troubles. And we all have them. And the Lord promises to each one of us that we're going to have them. But it's in Him that we are able to overcome them. It's in Him that grace will get us through those troubles. We need to look at that. Notice what the psalmist says about these things. We're told in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Not only do them Berean brethren come to hear the word preached with all readiness of mind, it said they search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. In other words, they meditated upon the law of God both day and night. If you wonder sometimes why you haven't grown in your life, maybe it's because we're not following the pattern that the Lord set up. Very simple pattern to follow, isn't it? If a farmer's going to make money and a farmer's going to have increase, he'll have to do exactly what the Word of God says. It doesn't just happen. There is no such thing, in my opinion, as luck. God either blesses you with it or He doesn't. Notice what it says here in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season, and the leaf shall not wither because the root is driven deep. And that old rocky land that we used to farm, I remember that we'd break chisels, but you still had to till that soil that the roots would drive as deep as possible into that soil. And you had to water that soil more maybe than you did other soils. You had to fertilize it heavier. But I tell you, if you tended to that soil and you done what God called upon you to do, I've seen it blessed more than once to bring forth a bumper crop, to have a great increase upon that land. Isn't it amazing that the Lord knows exactly how we ought to do it and teaches us in His Word how we ought to do it, not only from a natural sense, but from a spiritual sense. He says, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time, and afterward, when affliction comes, this is when they're offended or troubled, or they drive themselves away from the Lord. Friends, do you have any stones in your life? Do you have the job that you want? Are you making the amount of money that you want? Whatever it is, do you have the peace in your heart that you want? Is the relationship with your spouse what it ought to be? Do you want increase in all those areas or any of those areas? I believe when we set goals, we look for positive change in our life. I know we don't look for negative change. But when we follow the Word of God, we have the opportunity to see increase. Let's go on to the next ground for time's sake. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. When Jesus begins to explain this to His disciples, He says in verse 18, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word. Now, we know that there's another parable that talks about the seed being sown among the tares, which if you would, are thorns. The thorns are going to surround us in life. You know, when I think about thorns, I think about weeds. You know, I think about in the mid-1970s when my grandfather was still alive, we got a chemical called Roundup. It wasn't even on the market. We got it in this black 5-gallon can, and it was absolutely the best chemical I'd ever seen. Johnson grass was a great problem. We used it, and we thought our troubles were fixing to be over. But I can tell you right now, some 40 years later, they've been spraying Roundup, and we got more weeds today than we had when we began to use it. The weeds haven't went away. We wish they'd go away. But weeds are always going to be in your life. And if you're not careful, they will choke your spiritual life. They will choke your natural life. They will choke out your business. If you're not taking care of things in your business, if you're not planning for the year ahead, if you're not getting rid of obstacles that would choke out your business or stones that would keep you from making money, then you can't expect to have any increase. The Bible says we can have a great increase in our life. And I believe what God says. Whether my life increases at all, the Word of God promises it. But there's a pattern here that we need to follow, and we need to be serious about it. We need to understand that farming is a job just like any other business. But to maintain a strong spiritual life is like taking care of a business. A lot of people don't want to put it that way. You got to work at it, is what it's saying. You got to remove the stones. You got to get rid of the thorns in your life, because they'll choke you spiritually. Notice what he says. And the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. When you don't get rid of the thorns in your life from a spiritual stance, you're going to become unfruitful. If you become unfruitful, it tells me that there was a time and a season in your life that you were fruitful, that you were bearing fruit under the glory of God. Or maybe in your natural job you was making money, and you become slothful and sluggish and lazy, and you let things go and your business went downhill. You didn't remove those thorns. You didn't get rid of those stones. Because the Lord says, even though you can't do it, through Him you can. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Not us, not another man, not any preacher. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. If we want a fulfilled life, an abundant life, as He tells us in John chapter 10, we need to follow His way and not our way. And He gives us a great description of the way we ought to go. Be sure that the stones and the thorns, you're going to encounter them. Be sure at times when you enter into a season or a new year, you may not have the ground prepared. And if you don't, you're not going to have a bumper harvest. You got to prepare your heart and you got to prepare the ground that you might receive the Word of God. We're told about the good ground. I think that's what interests us all. It's just the fact of how do we get there. First of all, we prepare. Do you want a 30 or a 60 or a 100-fold increase in your life? Do you really believe God? I read an article last week, a short summary by a preacher over in Georgia, a Pentecostal Baptist preacher, Dolph Painter, and he said, we believe in God, but do we believe God? Think about that for a moment. Do you believe in God, and do you believe God? Do you believe in such thing as a 30, 60, or 100-fold increase in your life? The Word of God says it's possible. You get rid of the stones, you prepare the ground, and when the weeds come into your place and begin to choke out the crop, get them out. Get them out of your life. I tell you right now, if I was to plant a seed of corn, as I mentioned a little while ago, and travel off to Florida for 4 or 5 months, when I got back, the weeds would have choked out even the corn, which grows fast. It'd choke out cotton in a few weeks, but corn would even be choked out to the point that you couldn't hardly harvest it. This is a truth you can't deny, and it applies to us in every job in our life, in every situation or relationship in our life. There are weeds and stones that need to be chunked out, pulled up, and gotten rid of. If we want increase, positive increase and change in our life, the Lord says it's possible. And He gives you a pattern here to go forth with. If you're not preparing yourself, today's no better day than to prepare yourself for the Word of the Lord. Enter into next week. Every day, preparing your mind to worship for just a little bit in the way of prayer. Do you know that prayer is worship? In the presence alone with God is one of the... You'll have that opportunity more than you'll have it at any time in your life. We meet here once a week, but you can meet with the Lord every day. Prepare your heart. Thank God. The greatest thing that you can do to the glory of God's name in your life is to get up every morning and thank Him for all the goodness you have in your life. You know, sometimes we get up and we think of all the things that are wrong. And we've all got things wrong. But I tell you what, even in the worst situation, and I know from my own experience, in the worst situation I went through in my entire life, I had something to be thankful for. because it could have been worse. I know each one of you here today can attest to the very same fact. No matter how bad things were, you've always got something to be thankful for. God has been good to us. He's been good to us every day. And as we continue going into this year, it is my hope and prayer that God will bless you to remove the stones that hinder you in your life, in your natural life and in your spiritual life. That if the weeds come up, that you would pull them up and cast them off. Get rid of them. That you would prepare your ground every week as you enter into worship, just as you prepared your way in life for the job that you had. Think about all the things you've done to be successful if you've been successful. You worked at it, didn't you? You worked at it. You got rid of the thorns and the stones when the time came. You prepared as you entered into a new year. It's a very simple message. That's how we understand God's word. And God can bless us in a way that you and I cannot even possibly begin to think of and understand. I tell you, can you imagine what a 100-fold increase would be in your life in anything? That'd be a major increase, wouldn't it? Almost too hard to believe. That's why I said, we believe in God, but do we believe God? If we get rid of the stones and the barriers, the thorns, and prepare that ground, and walk in sweet communion with the Lord day in and day out, I tell you, this is possible. You can live in the land of more than enough. You know, when the Israelites, after 40 years, those that were 40 years and younger didn't enter into Canaan's land because of unbelief. They didn't enter in because of unbelief. And you know, when Joshua and Caleb sent the spies into the land to spy it out, it's a land that flowed with milk and honey. That means it never run dry. It was an abundance. Our God is a God of more than enough. He's able to do above and beyond what you even think or wish for. They had grapes that were so heavy, clumps of them, that the men couldn't carry them. So often we lose focus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is able to do in you what you could never do in yourself. But we must walk hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must stay focused upon Him. Because I believe everybody in this congregation, especially you young people, want to see increase in your life. And I tell you, it's possible. But it won't happen without the Lord. You can't shun the Lord and expect to grow in grace and knowledge and to have a thriving business and a thriving life. The Lord needs to be the center and the focus of your life. And if He is, He's promised there'll be increase out there. So as we close today, I encourage you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ day in and day out. And if you have ground that's not prepared, prepare it. If you have stones, thorns, or briars that come up in your life, get rid of them. Because they will choke the word out of you. And you'll become unfruitful. But when you're following this pattern, you will not only be fruitful in your natural life, you will be bringing fruit forward to the glory and honor of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that as we end the year of 2014, that the Lord will richly bless each and every one of you, and that you will have great increase in your life.